Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up, where you can
join serial dater Phil.
That's me. And dating detoxer Liz.
That's me. Welcome to the world of online dating.
What can you expect in the Unhinged and Bumbled Up podcast?
Dating do's, don'ts and disasters.
What we and our guests would gladly chuck in the 2020 dating bin to be gone forever.
What real people really think about those tricky dating dilemmas.
Awesome dating trivia. You'll never know when it'll come in handy for that pub quiz.
Top tips and tricks from our awesome guest experts, who luckily know a little more about dating than we do.
So if you've ever had a dating disaster,
ignore the red flags.
If your dating life is less successful than that person with the cat ears filter,
then you're in the right place. Do we know what we're talking about? No! Our dating lives are both utter shite. So join us as we talk all things dating. The good, the bad, and the... Sorry, there's just no spark.
Hello and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Phil, she's Liz, and today we're joined by Rebecca Bartley. Rebecca is a dating coach for men and runs Dating Bites, helping single men tackle their dating and relationship issues to attract their dream woman and form a long-lasting relationship together. This week, Rebecca will be sharing some of her great insight and top tips for men about how to be successful at dating. I'll be taking notes. Welcome, Rebecca, to the show. And tell us a little bit about yourself and Dating Bites.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Phil and Liz. I'm excited to be here and chat with you guys a little bit more. You summed up kind of the tagline of Dating Bites really nicely there, Phil. So I work with single men. I help them to essentially become better daters, to, you know, attract their dream woman into their life. So I am specifically, especially working with men who are in that stage in their life. They're looking for someone who's going to be more like a companion, you know, partner, versus something like more casual and things like that, that a lot of other dating coaches might focus on. My niche is a little bit more specific in that way. And I help these single men in a variety of different ways, things like looking at their confidence and mindset, because, you know, that's pretty important foundation blocks there to establish. Things like online dating, that's especially really big now in the pandemic, especially. And sex and intimacy, which is a very big part of relationships in general, and just any other, you know, general dating relationship topics. I just kind of help them out, like I said, to become better daters and to really attract that dream partner into their life.
That's really exciting. Rebecca, what made you decide to kind of niche in on men specifically and on those more meaningful and long-term relationships?
Mm-hmm. So it's funny that you asked that, because that's probably the biggest question I get asked in my line of work, especially as a woman. You know, a lot of people tend to assume, oh, I'm a female dating coach, I would want to work with women. So the reason I worked with men, there's actually kind of a few different reasons. But one of the biggest reasons I would say is because when I was kind of... I'm in a long-term relationship now, a committed relationship, but when I was single and, you know, doing more research into dating and relationships to help my own dating life and things like that going through the years. And, you know, when I would do research for myself as a woman, I found that, you know, especially looking for dating and relationship coaches, I could, you know, type that into a Google search and I would have thousands of results come up. You know, I could choose to work with even a man or a woman. You know, it was just such a variety for me. So many people out there that wanted to help myself as a woman find love. But when I would do that same research, you know, kind of from the perspective of a single man, I would find that there wasn't too many resources out there for single men.
What are the most common pitfalls that men make while dating? I'll be writing that down right now.
You can just like tick these off as we go, yeah?
Dun, 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 dun. Full hats.
I was going to say, I think you're going to be taking a lot of notes during this podcast. I just have a feeling because I'm dropping a lot of value today. But, you know, I would say definitely one of the common mistakes mistakes I see is men not being ready to date. So they're in a place, like almost like a mindset that they're not in a good place, basically, in their life. And they might be doing it out of things like desperation, like they don't want to be single. They're scared they're going to be alone, maybe for the rest of their life. So that
that was a big tick for everyone that didn't see.
Right? You know, that desperation and, you know, fear, loneliness, things like that. So really, and that's not the mindset you want to go in with dating, right? You don't want to be going in afraid. You don't want to be going in with this desperation, because it kind of tends, and this is what I tend to see too, is that it leans to you having very low standards. It almost gets to the point where you're like, I'll just take anyone, right? I'll just take any woman that shows interest in me, is nice to me, is, you know, wants to go on a date with me and all that, right? And that's not really good in that way when we kind of have that mindset, right? Because we're essentially settling, right? We're not really choosing that, you know, going forward with that good mindset to choose ultimately, if this is what we're looking for, that best partner, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a really big one that I see really common. Another common mistake I see, I refer to this as, and this is a term I coined, but tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. Essentially tunnel vision. I'm making an action now, but like the whole blinders, when you think of the best comparison that I could probably make is when you think of a carriage horse, right? Horse that's mm-hmm. a carriage, and they have those blinders over their eyes. That is like perfect description there of what I describe as tunnel vision, where someone gets so wrapped up in someone else and they don't see things like red flags, for example. They just see the good things, or they almost build up a picture in their mind that this person's just this, you know, perfect person. This person's the one for me. And they kind of ignore those red flags, right? Because that's another common mistake that I often see. I know you're not along, Phil.
Yeah. With red flags, people often associate it with women towards men. It's not really associated the other way, but the red flags everywhere, you know. And
100%. You know, no one's perfect. And I think another thing that's important to know is no one's going to be, not everyone out there is perfect for you, mm-hmm. right? So no one's perfect in general, but not everyone is going to be perfect for you in that way, right? And it's important that you see those red flags, that you don't have that tunnel vision, that you can have that almost like taking that step back, like still dating that person, but taking that step back, that you can logically in your mind still, you know, see those red flags if they do come up, that you can sit there and think, okay, maybe I have to think this over, right? I have to proceed with caution in a way. Because if you just kind of go in blindly, you know, like the cliche, love is blind in that way. If you just go in blindly, right, and thinking this is just a perfect person, they have no flaws, you know, all those things, it's really going to lead to heartbreak down the line. Mm-hmm. A lot of frustration, a lot of pain. And, you know, it's something that if you can just take that step back early on, and just proceed with caution in a way, and just, you know, still move forward and all that, but see how things go. Take it. I always recommend taking it one day at a time too.
I'm really connecting with what you're saying, Rebecca. I had somebody explain it to me a while ago, which is that you should go into a dating or relationships with absolute optimism that this could work out, but with mm-hmm. an absolute commitment to examining the evidence on a daily basis. So you go into it with this sense of hope, but if the evidence isn't stacking up, you mm-hmm. have to be willing to go with what the evidence is telling you. And if somebody's, and it kind of, you know, if somebody's saying all the right things and you get kind of swept away in the romance, but the evidence is that on a daily basis, your needs aren't being met, your you know, boundaries aren't being mm-hmm. respected, whatever it is, you have to be willing to go with what's in the evidence and that, you know, how it actually looks day to day, not what you think it could be or what somebody's saying it will be.
No, 100%. And, you know, it's very similar to kind of the motto I go by and talk to the single men that I work with is along the lines of, like you said, go into a date with that positive mindset, right? That things are going to go great and all that. But at the same time, have the confidence to know that if it's not working out, if you're not being treated right, if there's these red flags, then have the confidence and, you know, love for yourself. Really that self-love as well, to be able to walk away and know that there are other opportunities, other options out there for you that might be a better match.
The Profile Audit.
So this segment's called The Profile Audit. We've given our experts a profile to look at and tell us where we can tweak it slightly and what we can do to attract the right people into our life.
Okay, so without further ado, I'm really excited for this segment. We have decided to pick Rebecca's brain and get her to review Phil's online dating profile. So it's not just me, I'm sure, that is looking forward to somebody basically picking Phil's dating profile apart, but also maybe there'll be some great constructive tips and some things that other people can learn from. So, Rebecca, tell us about Phil's dating profile.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to be totally upfront and honest and brutally honest, maybe in some cases.
All the better for it.
I was going to say, I hope you have a notepad, Phil. You're taking lots of notes. I know you have throughout the session, but this in particular, I think you're going to really want to take some notes because this is normally a paid service with me.
I get a freebie.
I'm recording the whole thing. Don't worry.
Benefits of having a podcast, freebies.
You're doing something for free here. But, you know, so this is something obviously we've kind of already touched base on a little bit, but looking at the profile you sent me, and I think this is, so I guess I should preface this. For your listeners, that you sent me your Bumble profile as well as your Hinge profile. So I feel like a lot of my feedback is going to be applicable to both. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I should preface that first. So definitely, you know, kind of looking at both, I'll focus first on your photos. So as I kind of already touched on, the idea of selfies, right? And I think when I was talking a lot about that, Phil, I think you're probably thinking about your own profile and you're like...
So one of my friends turns around and goes, Phil, your Instagram's just full of car selfies of you. Car selfies, coffees, and my little boy. That's literally my Instagram, personal Instagram.
So yeah, so that's the thing, again, you know, going back to the whole selfie thing with you having a lot of selfies. Again, how I talked about, there's nothing really interesting going on in the background that really, as a woman, especially, you know, pretending I'm a single woman looking at your dating profile, that really intrigues me. Like, it's just a photo of you, right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing inviting me to kind of, you know, any curiosity, any intrigue. There's nothing that invites me to ask you a question based on the photos you're posting, with the exception of, I do see on your Bumble, you have two kayak photos.
Yes.
So that's where you did go right. So I'm going to have some negative and positives for you. So that's where you did go right. Actually, the one in particular, I really like the most. So I wanted to just like ask you this as a question. The one where it looks like, I'm not sure if this is a friend of yours or it's actually you sitting in the kayak and there's someone in front of you. I don't know if the person in front is supposed to be you or if it's like a friend of yours.
That was me in front. Yeah. So it's the back of.
Perfect. Yeah. So that's even better, the fact that it's you, because I thought that one was so unique and interesting. And it invites, it's just different. So I really like that one in particular. So you did really good with that photo in particular. But even the other one too of you in the kayak, someone else took. The fact that, it goes back to what I said, right? The fact that someone else took it of you in the kayak shows you were with someone else. You have someone else in your life.
Friends. That's a- Yay!
Right? So it shows that you have someone that went with you on, you know, that kayaking trip. So those two photos were hands down my favorite because the rest of them were selfies. Another thing I wanted to know, and this is definitely a man thing. I don't know why across the board men seem to be very nervous or scared or something about smiling in their photos.
I don't like my smile.
So it's like, I don't know if it's a self-conscious thing for you, but because I do hear from men, the reason why is because they're like, oh, like, I feel like being more serious is more masculine looking and all that. Yeah, okay, thank you.
So off-putting. I hate that, like, I don't know if you're familiar with the film Zoolander, but the whole, like, blue steel face is an instant swipe left for me. If there is even one blue steel, I'm swiping left immediately. I have zero tolerance for blue steel.
I think with me, my smile, if I smile, it's forced unless it's obviously in a situation where I'm smiling. So I'm not, like, keen on just...
But I think also there's something about it looking friendly and approachable. Like, I know that you feel self-conscious, Phil, about your smile, and like, as somebody who has braces on for the last 2 years, like, I can fully identify, but there is definitely something about smiling that makes you look more friendly, more approachable.
I'm not
for a woman, you are approachable. For a woman, I'm much more likely to want to message somebody who seems friendly and approachable than somebody who seems like what you think is, not you, Phil, but what men think is like sexy and mysterious. That's not going to make me want to message somebody, actually. That's probably a bit off-putting for me, if anything.
Yeah, and Liz, you hit it right like on the head there, because that's just a common thing I hear from women, like what they find attractive in a man's photos. You know, is the smile. And even I can say on that personal level, again, when I was online dating, like, I didn't like seeing a guy's photos that was very serious. Again, no offense, Bill, but like,
it's fine. It's fine. I can take it. Fixed it.
Like, almost to the point of like miserable looking, because I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why are you so miserable in life? Like, you have all these different types of photos. Why are you so miserable in everyone? And you know, I don't know why men got in their head, and it's probably because they were talking to other men. This is a common thing too, is men getting advice from other men. It's like, no, a lot of men out there don't know women. That's why you speak to women. You know, but it's just something, like you said, Liz, like, it's more warm, it's approachable, it's, and you know, I get you have kind of, speaking to you, Phil, like that anxiety around your smile, but it is something that is a woman still is going to find more attractive about you. Mm-hmm. But maybe things that, oh, sorry, Liz?
No, go on, sorry.
you know, there's kind of things that you can do to kind of help yourself like feel a little bit more easy. So like maybe, for example, if you know a photo is going to be taken of you, maybe you can kind of lean into the photo. So instead of just like right away posing, like, you know, smiling right away, that you kind of like maybe turn your head. And when you know the photo, you do that natural kind of like, you know, it feels like a little bit more natural that way.
Yeah.
Really, though, the best way to do it is to get you smiling when you're in action. Because for men in particular, action photos really go well, especially with women. Because women like seeing men like in those kind of action poses. I was going to say, Liz, and I see you're shaking your head too, right? Seeing more of those action shots than someone who's just sitting on the couch.
Yeah, like I spoke in our last episode about adorable but not the one Joey. And I specifically remember his dating profile because it had a photo of him rock climbing. And there was just something about this rock climbing photo that I was like massively drawn to, because I was like, cool, he's outdoorsy, he's capable, he's strong. Like, it told me a lot about him that I found really appealing.
Yeah. And Phil, and looking at your profile just overall, Phil, and obviously, of course, we've talked before this podcast as well, getting to kind of know you from what I know already, like, you seem like that type that is very, you know, how Liz described, like that very outdoorsy action, you know, getting out in nature type, adventurous. That's really that one key. And when I think of what the types of traits women find themselves most drawn to, that adventurous is up there, because Something I always hear, this is a common question I get from the men I work with, is why do women tend to go for bad boys, right? And this is actually a subject I'm going to do a live on in my Facebook community for single men. And it's not necessarily the bad boy per se, because it's not like women, we naturally want to date a guy that's like going to break our heart and be an asshole to us and all that. It's more so that he is displaying certain traits that we find attractive. So when it comes to that bad boy, you know, type, that they tend to show off a lot more confidence. Mm-hmm. They set boundaries with women. They don't just say yes to everything a woman does, right? They challenge a woman a little bit. They're adventurous and exciting. So Liz, I see you're not along, Liz. Yeah. So yeah, like that's just, it's just traits we naturally as women find really exciting. And that's where I, you know, Phil, if you were my client, that's where I would be taking your profile more, when we're talking about photos and even the content within your profile, because of what I know about you and your personality, right? Yeah. We don't want to present an image that's not you. But because I know that you're that type of man, that is that adventurous nature, outdoors type of man, we want to lean into that a little bit more. Because mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to tell your whole life story in a profile, right? You're just going back to what I was saying. You're just telling that kind of snapshot, right, of your life story. So that's a real snapshot of you, to go and lean more into that side. And that naturally is just going to find women more attracted to you by going more towards that, you know, those traits on you.
I think as well, just two other things on photos. So firstly, the thing when we were talking about smiling, like, so, and this is not just a true of smiles and teeth and stuff. This is true of anything. Like when someone meets you, you don't get to edit how you appear. Like if you're not confident with your smile, eventually a woman is going to meet you on a date and she's going to see what your smile is like. And so it being a surprise when you go on a date is not necessarily a positive thing. I tend to let people know that I have braces before a date, because I don't want them to be like, oh, well, like, you know, that's a surprise, because yeah. none of my pictures show it. But I feel like, you know, if people are going to see something eventually anyway, whether it's like a physical difference or something about your appearance that you're self-conscious about, they're going to see it at some point anyway. So people might as well know about it. And if it puts them off, then it puts them off. But that's no different to if they see it in person and it puts them off. Mm-hmm. But secondly, I think there's something about what we were talking about earlier about authenticity, but actually more about congruence. So for me, I feel like, obviously, we've been working together for a couple of episodes now. Mm-hmm. We speak almost continuously, talking about stuff about the show and planning for the show and who's going to come on and what we're going to talk about, new cool ideas for segments. You are one of the funniest people that I interact with, because you are just like, you talk continuously, you're continuously laughing. You're like a really bright, optimistic, lighthearted, funny person.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be like gushy, because you're going to get a big head. But if I look at your photos, none of that brightness and lightheartedness and funniness is represented in the photos, because you have these like more serious, and like, don't get me wrong, you look tremendously handsome, but they're not congruent with your personality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you were saying about the smiling photo, so I don't know whether you've seen the one with me in a pink shirt with a name badge on.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you got that?
Is that one you sent to me?
It was on my profile. Basically, I was on a game show and it's a smiling one.
Yes. Okay. Now you said game show. Okay. Yep. Now that brings it back.
And okay. That on my Hinge profile, apart from me learning Danish, seems to be the one that everyone always questions, like, oh, what show were you on? And that is the one where I am smiling, like, bright and happy. And, I mean, it was a few years ago now, and I've lost quite a bit of weight since then, actually. So,
I think just for everybody, we need to know what game show it was.
It was the 100K drop.
Hey!
Yeah.
See that.
And we walked away with 2.5K. So I don't think the episode exists anymore, but the trailer does. So I'll try and find it out and put it on.
Definitely looking that
up. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you know, like you said, it looks like, and I'm remembering that photo now. It was a photo that you're just caught in the moment of happiness, excitement, joy. So yeah. It's just that natural happiness. You just genuinely look like a fun, you know, welcoming, friendly personality to be around, that bright, like as you described it, Liz, like that bright bulb, right, of personality. And not only that, but it's also an interesting photo on top. So it's not only a good photo of you in the sense that's showcasing that light, that smile and all that, but it's also interesting, right? Because it invites that question, oh, what game show? That's cool. You were on TV, you know, all these things that intrigue, that curiosity. So that's why it's a really good photo. And it's something that's just unique and different, right? Yeah. Like not everyone has that photo. It's like I said with Liz, with her giant carrot photo. Really? You know, not everyone has that type of photo, right? So it's very different and stands out in that way, too. Another thing I noted, too, that would be really good for you, and I briefly kind of touched on this, but just to make it more clear, is having more of those action shots. So that's why I was saying the shots of the kayaking were really good. So getting more shots of you doing other things you like to do. And that's the thing is, just looking at your profile altogether, that was another area where I felt like I was lacking, that I didn't get enough of you. Like, I get it. You like kayaking. That's very clear. But like, you know, just diving a little bit deeper, giving a little bit more. Again, you don't want to tell your whole life story, but just telling a little bit more so that I know you like other things other than kayaking.
No, that's all I like in life. Just kayaking and podcasts, all right?
You might have to look at opening your mind to maybe a little bit, a few more hobbies and all that.
Great. And so any final kind of contributions about the dating profile, Rebecca? Like what are your top tips and takeaways apart from this, you know, capturing and leaning? I really like this idea of like leaning into this outdoorsy element. Not that you have to create like a caricature of yourself, but more that you pick what's interesting and optimize that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. You know, there were some other things too that I noted just throughout like answering the questions, because I know it's like Bumble and Hinge. They ask like questions that you have to answer. So like one of them, for example, I'll just quickly look at so I can read the question out loud. Okay, so a perfect first date where you wrote your answer being, doesn't matter where it is, as if it's with the right person, it will be amazing anyway. I get where you're going with that. You're kind of going more towards that, almost like a romantic vibe in a way that I was getting from that. And I get where you're coming from. But the thing is, this is where the blunt honesty is coming.
That's fine. Hit me.
As lazy writing, because it doesn't show much effort. It just kind of shows like, you know, what, you know, it's kind of an attitude of like, whatever, you know, whatever happens.
It reminds me of when you're trying to plan a date with somebody and you say, what do you want to do? And they go, I don't mind. And you're like, well, great. So now all the responsibility is on me to come up with the idea. And I really liked when, and it reminds me actually of when you were talking earlier about somebody being able to picture themselves in your life, that if you actually maybe gave a more specific example, maybe somebody can picture themselves on that date with you a bit.
100%. That's exactly where I was going with that. I'm so glad you picked that up, Liz, because yeah, like I said, Liz hit it right on the head, and that's exactly where I was going, is just get into a little bit more detail. And this kind of connects with another one of your answers where you mentioned what you liked. I think the question was, where can you find me after work, or what I like to do after work? And you mentioned kayaking somewhere. Yeah. Well, kayaking where? You know, like I could ask that in a message to you, but the thing is just give a little bit more detail and, you know, kind of going off what Liz said, you know, maybe get a little descriptive of where your favorite place is to kayak and describe it a little bit. So I can maybe visualize kayaking with you.
Yeah.
Right. The woman that's very attractive that I can kind of put myself into that situation. So, you know, kind of look at it when you're building out your profile, looking at it from that perspective, right? Of not only telling that, it goes back to where I said, right? That snapshot of your life, But in turn, adding more to that, where you can almost, from the other perspective, well, I want a woman to be able to visualize, because who knows, maybe you're taking her kayaking on a date, right? And you want to make sure that she can visualize being on that date, because that's just really going to build that attraction for her there, especially if she does like kayaking.
Mm-hmm. And also you can capture, so the thing about that you mentioned about the previous one, the like, it doesn't matter who you're with, that romance, you can capture that romance in other ways. Because if you said, so you can say kayaking somewhere, or you can say kayaking at sunset with a cold beer, which gives you that sense of romance, because you're like, oh, sunset.
Yeah.
And it creates a specific picture, because you can like imagine this nice cold beer or whatever it is, that you can actually make up for that. Because for me, I read a lot of stuff on guys' profiles, which is clearly supposed to be kind of romantic or sentimental, or, you know, if it's with the right person, blah, blah. But actually, it's more impactful, I think, when somebody illustrates romance with a particular example or idea, rather than this general greetings card kind of romance idea.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Sorry, Phil.
No, Karen.
I was just going to say, just to add on to what Liz said, it's so funny you bring that up, Liz, because when I was actually looking, Phil, at your About Me section, I actually wrote like a little sample. I know we're, you know, kind of being cautious of time and all that, but I did write a little sample of something that you could include. So first things first, that it's so important to note that you want in your main bio About Me section, you want the first line to be your hook.
Yeah.
So your current hook, I wouldn't personally describe it as a hook, but what you have at least is finger here, swipe, you know, right. So that's not really, it's kind of boring. It's kind of lame. You know, you want something that's more a hook. So like something you could do as a hook, because this is one of my personal favorites, is something like, I know you're a project manager by day. So saying project manager by day, Superman by night, you know, like a little cheesy, but again, go with what kind of your personality is, if that's something that works for you. But like, it's something, it's a line, it's a one liner that's going to hook me right away, essentially. Yeah. So like for you, something that I came up with is just a one line. I want to take you on an adventure. So that's Liz.
Cool. Nice. Like, yeah. It sounds kind of hot as well. It sounds like we're going to have an amazing time in bed.
Yeah, exactly. It creates a lot of sexual desire. That's why I liked it too, because it like a sexual innuendo in there too. But yeah, like it right away hooks you. It creates that sexual desire, that attraction from a woman. And then you can elaborate further if we're wanting to go off kind of that adventurous vibe, right? You can say things like, something like a trip to the beach and a walk on the beach during sunset, question mark, you know, a hike up a mountain with a great view, question mark, you know, so kind of getting her to picture the type of adventures you can take her on is one kind of way you can go about it. The other way you can also, if we're going off this kind of continuing the adventurous vibe, is to also describe an adventure you went on yourself. So your most adventurous story, right? Quick story. Maybe you climbed a mountain. I don't know, but you climbed a mountain and you saw this really amazing view and the sun setting. Describing a story like that, again, it's the visualization that really, especially for her to visualize it, and then in turn, her visualizing the two of you together. Oh, this is something, this is an adventure he could take me on, you know, that really hooks a woman in. So
So whose profile is this, and where do I find them? Because that sounds like someone I want to do.
Where can we sign up? And I think as well, it's really fair, because I think as well, some people on dating profiles are afraid to be complimentary about themselves. Particularly, I think this is probably more true of British people maybe than Americans or Canadians, because I think with like Brits, we're known for being really uncomfortable about like blowing our own trumpet about anything. And so I think there's this tendency to be like a bit self-depreciating and like it being a bit cringy to be complimentary about yourself. Mm-hmm. But actually, there are some adjectives that are just gonna make a woman swipe right. And if they are reasonable to apply, they might not be how you would naturally describe yourself, but you kind of have to almost, I think, look at it as like, how would my mates describe me if they were in a really good mood and they'd had a few beers and I was in the good books? But like stuff like rugged, outdoorsy, 6'2", looking for blah, 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 like that is going to make a woman swipe right immediately. Mm-hmm. And like, it's also accurate. You are literally, you're not going to be able to leave the room after today. I would like to make it clear that I'm not hitting on you, Phil. But like, you can afford to be complimentary about yourself when you're writing your bio, right? Mm-hmm. As long as it doesn't sound like you're being really like braggy.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes back to what I said earlier in the podcast, right? When we talk about profile writing, especially, is that you want to talk about yourself, but you want to keep that ego in check, right? That, and there's a way that you can go about communicating. So we talked about like being more on that positive tone, right? Not writing in that negative and talking about standards and all that kind of stuff, right? Like there's just a way that you go about it. And that's why I wanted to kind of write that example for you, Phil, because obviously, of course, that's going to benefit you. But, you know, I think in turn too that a lot of men out there, because I do know a lot of men out there do tend to be more active, outdoorsy, you know, very similar in that way. So that's just something different that can set them apart. So what I commonly see as a problem in profile dating, right, especially when it comes to men, is they tend to be very generic. Mm-hmm. Like they just say, I'm this great, I'm, you know, I'm a nice guy, I'm funny, I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. They make a list of objectives that they describe themselves. And the thing is, it's very generic. It's very boring. It's what all the other men are doing out there on their profile. Versus something like this is, I want to take you on an adventure, right? You know, hike up a mountain, you know, or here's my adventure story, stuff. It's different, right? So something that's so important is that you really want to show, not necessarily tell. Mm-hmm. So for example, you state you're a funny guy. Well, how are you a funny guy? So it's kind of like the how, what, and why questions whenever you have a certain adjective you describe yourself with. So, well, how are you a funny guy? And, you know, from there, I always like to use the example actually of kindness. Like, I'm a kind guy. Yeah. Well, how are you a kind guy? Well, I'm a big brother at Big Brother Sisters, you know, volunteering and work with children in that way. So, okay, well, why are you doing that? Well, it's important for me to be that positive role model in a child's life. You know, that just tells me so much about you, and it shows it without saying, well, I'm a kind guy.
Yeah.
Right? It just makes more of an impact with a woman, especially.
Definitely. And I think, you know, we've used obviously the example of being like outdoorsy, but there are a ton of other examples that you can make a decent profile of. Like I've seen, like I went on a date with a guy and his profile was all about like being a massive foodie and all these things that he was learning to cook. And he had some photos of stuff that he'd been like perfecting to cook during a lockdown. And his profile was kind of about like, here's the thing I would cook you on a first date. And that, and I love food. I'm a massive foodie. And I was like, yes, please, because it tells me enough to know that our lifestyles and our interests are compatible. So it's not just, you know, you don't have to latch on to this outdoorsy like vibe. Right. It could be that you're a foodie. It could be that you really love like a particular sport, or are like love going to whatever like sports events, or it could be like anything, but you kind of have to make it a thing that is memorable.
Because the thing I think you'll find is if you put down one interest, one major interest of yours, and somebody has that same interest, that's something that you're vibing on straight away. That's something that they're going to see and go, we can do this together. So it doesn't matter whether you've got thousands of other interests that they don't have the same. You've still got that one interest. Whereas people looking at it and thinking, no, I'd never do that in a million years. If that's, that basically goes, yeah, you're not for me. You know, it cuts people off on the way that they're meant to go, rather than matching with someone who isn't outdoorsy, who likes to go out every single weekend, every possibility, never slept in a tent in their life, or never doesn't own a pair of walking boots or anything like that, compared to the potential match of someone who has all of that. So
it goes back to how we were talking about the whole idea, right? You want to create a profile that's, like I said, the best version of yourself. You're not creating a profile that is what's kind of expected or what you think women like. You know, again, if Phil, you're that outdoorsy guy, that just naturally fits you. But like you said, Liz, if you have someone out there who's more a foodie, well, that's where you go and more lean into that, right? Your photos are reflecting that, your bio is reflecting that and interesting and talking about that in more detail. So it's going off of what really speaks to you, because at the end of the day, and this is just so important for kind of everyone to be aware of this, is, you know, we all have different types. We all have different things that we like, dislike about someone. You know, there's someone that's going to be out there that is going to like you for you, in the sense of like the common interests and all that kind of stuff, that you don't need to pretend to be someone else. Just being yourself, there's going to be someone, at least one other person out there, that's going to have those similarities and be attracted to you because of those.
Yeah, that's amazing. And do you know what? I'm going to take everything on board and I'm going to create a whole brand new profile, and then we are going to see how that goes. And
you're not going to be available for recording this podcast because you're going to be going on so many dates. It's going to be ridiculous.
But the podcast comes first.
You need to prioritize.
Yes.
Keep me posted when you do update it.
Definitely.
I want to hear how many girls you're going on dates with after it.
We'll see.
Rebecca needs credit.
Rebecca will get credit.
I was going to say, testimonial here.
This segment is called the 2020 Bin, basically the Modern Room 101. Each week we'll be asking our guest to chuck something they hate about dating in the 2020 bin and give us a reason why.
Rebecca, what do you want to put in the 2020 bin and why?
So, I don't know if hypocritical is the right word, because I talk about this so much, but it's because we're in this pandemic and I talk a lot about dating safely during the pandemic. So obviously one of the things that I talk about so much is Zoom video dates. I talk about them so much and the, you know, importance of them right now during this time, but I'm not going to lie, just deep down, like, I just feel for the men I work with and all that going on these dates, because it's like, you know, obviously it is better than nothing, but never replaces like the in-person. And when you sometimes have to wait during this time, the pandemic, to go in person. So I'm excited for Zoom. I think we all feel this way, though, just in general at Zoom, like this, as they call it, the Zoom fatigue, I think is the term. I'm excited for Zoom video dates to eventually not, at least not be as prevalent and more at least a once in a while thing. But having the in-person interaction.
So I think with this, I can feel your pain on Zoom at the moment, because everybody knows the reason why on this podcast why I do. Yeah. But I feel with this, I agree with this, but I am putting down the argument that we shouldn't put it in the bin yet, because we've already put walking dates in the bin. Now, if we put Zoom dates in the bin, nobody's going to go on any dates for a while. Yeah.
I think when the pandemic is over and we can safely go in person, it should definitely go in the bin. So maybe we'll
That was my preface. So I that's why I was saying, I was trying to think of what I could say. And like, I also came up with masks too, but like... can I say, based on the Zoom, you know, kind of podcast interview we're having today, can we say people taking selfies with their masks can go in the bin?
Yeah, 100%. We could swap it to people taking selfies photos with their masks.
Can we just take normal photos? Like, because we're outside, even if someone else is taking a photo, they're socially distanced from you to take that photo. There's no reason why you need to wear a mask in that moment of the photo. So there we go. Okay, I'll put that as going in the bin.
Okay, we can agree on that one. We'll put that 100%. One in the bin then.
And I do agree that virtual dates and Zoom dates should go in the bin. It, like, they're in the pre-bin.
They're ready to be pushed in.
Big time.
to the questions.
Where am I? Who are you people?
This is the final installment of Guest Questions, so sit back, relax, and find out what else we've got to ask.
So Rebecca, tell us about what are, so obviously I find this hard to conceptualise as a woman, but if there is a man and he's in the dating field, what are the red flags that he should be looking out for? Or what are the most common red flags in terms of how women behave that a man needs to pay attention to?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're looking at dates, for example, there's definitely certain red flags. So let's say a man is going out on a first date with a woman. So some of the red flags you want to be looking for is, first of all, if the woman shows up late, that's a big red flag because that really shows ultimately disrespect. It's disrespect for you. It's disrespect for your time, the energy you put in, things like that. And even before a first date, I think it's important I mention this as well, that a big red flag would be if a woman is being really difficult with even setting up that initial first date. You know, she's kind of flip-floppy, I guess is a good term to use it. You know, she's kind of flip-flopping, waffling is another term I've heard to express that as well, where essentially she's not able to commit to a time or date. If she's canceling last minute, things like that, that's a huge red flag there. Again, that's like another disrespect thing. It's kind of wasting your time, right? When you could be talking to a woman or going out on a date with a woman that is very excited and really wants to get to know you, really wants to meet up with you.
We were talking on the first episode, it came up about masks and basically people painting this perfect profile of themselves. And then it coming to the date and they're kind of almost, they've almost got that mask on. They're almost playing a role, and the first date's a show, you know. What extent do you feel this is true?
Yeah, absolutely. So they stay statistically. I know we were going to talk about down the line a fun fact, but this is kind of, I guess, a this wasn't the fun fact I was going to mention, but it's really relevant to this conversation topic. And it's the idea that statistically speaking, it takes about 3 months for you to eventually remove the mask and start to see the real person. They actually have a number attached to it. So knowing that, that's important information to know, because when you kind of know that number, you can almost make yourself step back a bit and not get too emotionally invested too quickly. Yeah. I think that's another common mistake, right? That I think men and women both do tend to sometimes rush into relationships or get involved with someone too quickly. And especially before I see.
I'm like, oh my God, she's read my mind. Yeah,
I think she's read both of our minds just there, because I was just nodding along like, yeah, definitely gone too quick.
Yeah. definitely moved in with somebody after about 3.5 weeks. Yeah.
I think we're on the same level. I think that me and Liz are exactly the same person, just
This is why we need to have experts on, Rebecca. Okay, so 3 months. 3 months is a good marker.
Yeah, and so when you're kind of keeping that number in mind, like I said, it allows you to kind of take that step back and, you know, look at it day at a time. Like I was saying before, you know, take your time getting to know someone. But, you know, something that I always encourage with the men that I work with is to not present yourself in a way that you think the other person wants you to be, but you should be presenting yourself as the best version of yourself. So it's probably almost in between in that way. So it's, you want to be yourself, but you want to be the best version of yourself. Because I always hear, and this is kind of up there with terrible dating advice that I hear, I hear a lot of people say, be yourself. Well, no. And I say this to the men I work with because, you know, they come to me and they'll say, oh, well, I was always told to just be myself and it'll eventually happen, right? You know, if it happens, it happens. It's like, no, that's really terrible dating advice because being yourself, you're single. You were yourself. You're still single. You're not getting dated. So being yourself is not working. So that's why you want to be the best version of yourself. But at the same time, you don't want to be something that you're not.
Yeah.
Right? So it's kind of like that fine line in between there. But I think that's where people do stumble, especially with the whole, and I think men tend to be a little bit more this way, that they're wanting so badly and sometimes for a woman just to like them and all that, especially if they're really attracted to the woman, that they almost put on this facade like, oh, well, I know this is what she likes, so I'm going to be this way.
Dating disasters.
This segment of the show is called Dating Disasters, because let's face it, we've all had them. Each week we'll be asking our guests to share their worst dating disaster, and we'll be sharing a dating disaster we've either received or one of our own.
Okay, so Rebecca, as you know, we invite everybody who comes on the show to share a dating disaster. The listeners have heard one of mine, they've heard a couple involving some poop. We specifically speculated with you that your dating disaster should preferably not involve any shit whatsoever.
Yes, no shit please.
Would you like to share your dating disaster with us?
Absolutely. I can guarantee this is a shit-free story.
Yes, that's what we like.
Brilliant.
So, I mean, I've had a few dating disasters, but the one I particularly wanted to share with you guys actually happened while I've been dating my partner. So it does actually come up from time to time. There's jokes around it and all that. So something that I think is such an important milestone when you're dating and especially getting, you know, in that relationship phase and all that, an important milestone is meeting your significant other's parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
One with my partner so I was meeting his parents for the first time. So just to kind of explain a little bit of background. So they actually, they're pretty close to where we live, but they live out kind of in the countryside. So they do kind of have a lot of property and all that. So it was great. You know, the times that we've been randomly seeing them, it's very easy to socially distance, masks and all those safety kind of precautions. But the very first time I met them, you know, I always like to make a good impression. So I brought a little orchid plant for his mom.
Very nice.
And yeah, and I brought some chocolate for, you know, his mom and dad to share together. Just, you know, I like making a good impression and all that. And so there's a reason why I'm stressing this. So anyway, so, you know, knowing they live out in the country, they actually have a forested area kind of in their backyard that they own. They own, like I said, quite a bit of land. And so you can easily go on trail hikes kind of in the forest area. Nice. And yeah, so I was also dressed very nicely as well to make that good impression. So my partner suggests, you know, let's go for a little hike in the forest and all that. And I love hiking and all that, so I was totally up for that. So we're going through it, and as we're going through the hiking, we're noticing it's a little muddy. And we're starting to go through some creek areas where there's some river running through. And we're noticing the creek's a little high. And there's one section where one of the bridges is actually flooded out. So my partner's sitting there. He notices there's some rocks that we can basically step over or hop over. And he's sitting there. Oh, it's okay. You know, I'll help you. All that. No big deal. Yeah, we can get through this. And I'm sitting there. My balance is not the greatest. So he gets through it fine. He goes first and he's kind of helping me over, and I'm getting through, you know, the first couple rocks and all that. I get to the last one And I slipped on the rock because I guess it was wet and all that. I slipped, did not maintain my balance. I fall over into the creek. Soaking wet, my clothes, nice clothing as well, totally drenched, muddy from top to bottom, everything. I am so embarrassed because we have to go back to his parents because we're visiting them because his mom cooked us lunch, so we hadn't even had lunch yet. So we have to go back. I have no change of clothes, right? Because obviously I didn't know this would happen. And so we're walking back. My partner is just like, so he's feeling so bad and stuff like that. And it wasn't his fault at all. But, you know, he's feeling terrible. I'm so embarrassed. I'm sure my face was like cherry red as we're walking back to the house. And so we get back to the house and I think his mom was outside and we're starting to approach. And my partner goes a little bit ahead of me just to give his mom the heads up. And she's talking to him and I'm getting closer and all that. And she's like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear this. I'm again, cherry red face. I'm so embarrassed. And she's like, I'm so sorry to hear this. She's like, we're going to find you a change of clothes. Like, we're not letting you sit out and let us know that. Like, his parents are extremely nice and we're not letting you sit out in wet clothes. Like here, you know, they have like a garage loft.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you can go up to the loft, like there's privacy there and all that. We're going to find you some clothes that you can just borrow because we're not letting you sit in like wet, muddy clothes. And so I got changed. She found clothes for me. I got changed and all that. And she took my clothes. I was going to bring them home, right? And she's like, no, don't. Here's a bag. Put them in this bag. I'm going to wash all your clothes for you. So I was like... So awkward because it's like, you know, as a woman,
here's my pants.
We have certain delicates we wear underneath and all that. So it's like, here is, you know, the mother of my partner. This is the first time meeting his parents, and she's going to wash my clothes for me and all that. Such a nice. Don't get me wrong, but I was just so embarrassed, and I was just like. It's still talked about to this day because we've obviously gone back and visit them a few times. We've gone on hikes with them too as well. And, you know, it's always referenced whenever we talk about where we're going in the forest. It's like, I'm always asking my partner, is this where I fell? Are we going to the place where I fell?
Will there be a creek?
I mean, there is an upside to that story. At least you wore underwear that day. Could you imagine if not, then questions from the mother-in-law.
That is so true. Yeah, exactly. But it was so embarrassing, right? Because, like, it's such an important milestone, right? When you think of dating in general. And you always want to create that great first impression. And now it's an ongoing job. Like, I laugh it off now, but it's still always that twinge of embarrassment and all that. Because it was, like, that very first time meeting them. And now they remember me, you know, as the girl that fell in the lake, you know. Yeah.
And after all the, like, pre-work of, like, dressing nicely, bringing gifts.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I was actually really impressed. She actually got, like, everything out of my clothes. Like, my clothes were, like, pristine.
It was just mum really skills. Like, mums have mad laundry skills.
Mum, you know, master mum skills there.
Yeah, seriously. Brilliant. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you, Rebecca, for sharing that. Fantastic.
Final thoughts.
This segment is called Final Thoughts. Basically, we take a look back at the episode and we each pick something that we'll take away from it or something that we have learned. So my final thought, I have learned so much from this episode, like unbelievable amounts, and I will be putting it all into practice. So my profile. I think that's it. I mean, I don't need any more thoughts apart from taking away my profile and updating it.
I feel like I can't wait to see this new version of the profile. You're going to clean up.
That's why I'm restarting Bumble and Light Hinge. Yeah. So I can start again with all the girls. From
yeah, like Phil's dating 2.0.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, what would be your final thought?
Well, I thought it was really interesting to me, like this podcast in particular was really interesting in the sense that I've done like a few other podcast interviews and usually I'm either talking to specifically a man or specifically a woman. So it was really interesting to have, you know, Liz, you coming on and talking about your perspective as a woman, especially when I was referencing something that you could relate to. And then of course, Phil, you know, obviously I work a lot with men. So having that kind of, you know, man on a podcast as well to really relate a lot to the things that I was sharing. It's really unique. I find in this kind of situation where, you know, it's women and men essentially talking about different dating topics. And that was the biggest thing I took from it, was hearing both sides and both perspectives. And being someone that, you know, as an expert in my field, that middle ground, right, to be able to uniquely translate, you know, what's going on in a man's mind in a way, right, that you were agreeing with, Phil. But at the same time, not only as a woman, but again, as that professional in the field, that also understanding as well as a woman that Liz, that you could relate to in that way. So it was having that kind of, I think, unique perspective, and having someone as that middleman was something that I found most interesting about that this podcast in particular.
Brilliant. Thank you, Rebecca.
And Liz, what would be your final thought?
So I think this is really interesting because I've actually learned a ton, even though the episode is about like tips for men for dating, I've actually really, really learned some stuff. And what I really liked is your comments about being the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really powerful and a really good thing to kind of try and focus on as you think about dating or preparing for a date, is like that you don't have to be somebody else, you don't have to change who you are. Mm-hmm. You just have to try and kind of be the best version of, and like it sounds cliche, like be like best you kind of thing. But I think that's really powerful. And I also loved, I'm going to be greedy, I'm going to have to, what you said about the using the pictures, not just being about illustrating what you look like. The pictures are a way of painting a picture of your life. And I really love that. And I think that's really powerful for people in thinking about like, what pictures do you include? What pictures do you not include? What do they say about you in your life? And actually using them, because sometimes it can feel like you don't have many characters in the bio, and it's hard to fit it all in. But actually, if your
Tinder, for example, is a good example there. Yeah,
but if your pictures are painting the picture, then maybe you don't need to talk so specifically about, say, kayaking in the bio, because you've illustrated that with a picture. And I think that's really powerful. Also, no car selfies. Car selfies going in the 2020 bin as well.
Whoa, you can't put anything in the bin this week. You had your turn. Car selfies are still happening, people.
If you put me last on final thoughts, I will do as I please.
Not on my profile.
Okay.
That's great.
All right. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We've really enjoyed talking to you. You've shared some great tips, and I know they'll be of a lot of value to our listeners. So can you tell people where they can find you if they want to know a little bit more about you or connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me actually on Facebook. I do have a free Facebook group. Facebook community for single men. So essentially in the search bar, you can, I was going to say, so I'll actually send you the direct link, but if you actually type in the search bar, dating advice for single men, it should actually pop up. And so, but I'll send you the direct link for it, Phil, specifically, so you can join. you can also find me on Instagram at datingbites. And then you can also find me on kind of the World Wide Web. So my website is www.dating-bites.com. It's important to include that hyphen. Fortunately, datingbites.com was actually taken. Someone's selling it for thousands of dollars, and I just, it was not worth me to invest.
Agreed.
So I just added the hyphen in between, so that's just important for me to note that. But when you actually go onto my website, I have a free guide for single men. A lot of men really like this guide. It's 5 online dating messages that you can send to a woman to break the ice through online dating. That's going to help improve your response rate. So it's a guide like every single man.
I'm reading as we speak.
So I was going to say, Phil, you can go on my website. You can download it right away through the link. It'll be the first thing you see on the website. So it's my free gift I always like to give out. It's really valuable, though.
That's absolutely amazing. And anyone that wants a profile audit, I am sure Rebecca will do it, obviously for her fee, but I get free
days. I should stress that my private coaching, although I do have the free Facebook community for single men, working one-on-one with myself, that more private coaching setting, so things like looking at a dating profile audit, or I do also have a coaching 25-week coaching program that actually walks you through all the steps to actually help you successfully attract your dream woman into your life. It's my signature coaching program. It just, oh my goodness, the life-changing results that you can get from this program for men, especially that are looking for that, you know, companionship and things like that and need the professional help to successfully attract their dream woman into their life. It's just, it's impactful.
Amazing. That's amazing. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing for free some dating help for Phil. And we look forward to giving you an update about the results that he's
Absolutely.
Had.
Keep me posted for sure. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was such a pleasure to connect with you.
So on next week's episode, we're going to be talking all about Disney. Okay. Just a little bit about Disney and toxicity. And also, we're going to find out what happened when I went virtual speed dating. And yeah, it should be a good episode. So tune in next week. Thank you for listening. And thank you for getting us to 2,000 downloads. You have been amazing.
And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, then you can do, whether that's to submit a dating disaster, ask a question, or ask for some advice. We're not that good at helping, but one of our guest experts will certainly be able to. So if you'd like to get in touch, head on over to our socials.
On Facebook and Instagram, it's at Unhinged and Bumbled Up.
On Twitter, it's at Bumbled Up.
Or by email, it's unhinged.and.bumbledup@gmail.com.
If you liked the episode, then please don't forget to like and share and click the follow button above.
We also now have a website, www.unhingedandbumbledup.co.uk. See you all next week.